Now when the dead man come to life, beheld his wife no more, and saw the babe, hers, yet not his, upon the father's knee, and all the warmth, the peace, the happiness, and his own children, tall and beautiful, and him, that other, reigning in his place, lord of his rights and of his children's love. Then he, though Miriam Lane had told him all, because things seen are mightier than things heard, staggered and shook, holding the branch, and feared to send abroad a shrill and terrible cry, which in one moment, like the blast of doom, would shatter all the happiness of the hearth. He therefore, turning softly like a thief, lest the harsh shingle should grate underfoot, and feeling all along the garden wall, lest he should swoon and tumble and be found, crept to the gate and opened it and closed as lightly as a sick man's chamber door behind him, and came out upon the waste. And there he would have knelt, but that his knees were feeble, so that falling prone he dug his fingers into the wet earth and prayed. Too hard to bear. Why did they take me hence? O God Almighty, blessed Saviour, thou that didst uphold me on my lonely isle, uphold me, Father, in my loneliness a little longer. Aid me. Give me strength. Not to tell her. Never to let her know. Help me not to break in upon her peace. My children, too, must I not speak to these? They know me not. I should betray myself. Never. Not father's kiss for me. The girl, so like her mother, and the boy, my son. Their speech and thought and nature failed a little, and he lay tranced. But when he rose and paced back toward his solitary home again, all down the long and narrow street he went, beating it in upon his weary brain, as though it were the burthen of a song. Not to tell her, never to let her know. Not to tell her, never to let her know. Never. Never.